We're going to take a look at the ecclesiastical model employed by much of American evangelicalism today, especially as put forward by the seeker-driven movement.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We're going to take a look at where this idea of a vision-casting leader comes from, what its main tenets are, and we're going to compare that so-called ecclesiastical office to the biblical office of pastor, to see if the two are actually synonymous and interchangeable, or if this concept of a vision-casting leader actually turns a pastor into a false prophet.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against vision-casting leaders in the church June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The family is the singular most important institution in society. It existed before government.
This is something that happens to me all the time. I am a housewife. That is my job. And people always want to know, oh, that's nice, and what else do you do?
Joel's church, as magnificent as the Houston Convex Center is, would pale in comparison to the temple that Solomon built. Joel only has one wife. I think Solomon had around 1,000. So Solomon out-Osteen's Osteen, by far.
It was cross before glory for him. And as that was true for him, it's going to be true for us.
Former evangelicals on track to be Lutheran pastors by attending Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Love, Issues, Etc.
I remember hearing this when I was in high school, this notion that I'd never heard it before. I was raised in a Lutheran home in a Lutheran church, and I was told that I was given the gift of the Holy Spirit when I was baptized, and that if I believed, I had the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, my faith might be weak, but the Holy Spirit was still there, and that had been given as a promise, a pledge, a down payment, a guarantee. And I prayed every Sunday, whether I understood exactly what I was praying or not, take not your Holy Spirit from me. And those famous words of the liturgy, God answered that prayer, by the way, and has never taken the Holy Spirit from me. Now, I remember in high school being told that I might not really have the Spirit. I might just be something like a carnal Christian, not a spiritual Christian. I might believe, but have yet to have the Holy Spirit. And the reason I was told that was because I hadn't spoken in tongues. I mulled that over in my mind. Did I even want to have tongues or have the Holy Spirit if it meant speaking in tongues? Other people claimed to really have the Holy Spirit and be speaking in tongues and to really be Christian because now they had the Holy Spirit. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday afternoon, the 29th of May. Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, joins us for the first few minutes of this hour. We're going to be talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit as it's taught in Pop American Christianity, our feature with him this week in Pop American Christianity. A little bit later, it's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a little game we like to play with our listeners on Fridays. We have 4 sound bites ready. We're going to play them for you. You listen, then you call, you email, you send us a tweet, or you go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Your vote will determine which one's Soundbite of the Week. And if you have the best vote, you'll get the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pin, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad goes to one of the voters for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about a half hour here on the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @IssuesETC, and that Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/IssuesETC, Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Joining us for this week in Pop American Christianity to talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit, Chris Roseborough. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of an internet talk show every day called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Does this notion that sits behind baptism in the Holy Spirit, that one can be a Christian in some sense without having the Holy Spirit, does that notion have any basis whatsoever in Holy Scripture?
No, absolutely not. There is no such thing as a penitent believer in Jesus Christ who has who is water baptized, who does not have the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, and this is kind of an important distinctive we have got to start hammering. You know, we've all heard this passage before. Here's what it says, Ephesians 4, there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And so here's the idea, is that the promise of the Holy Spirit is promised to those who are penitent believers in Jesus Christ. The promise of the Holy Spirit is attached to the waters of baptism, and I can point you to that in Acts chapter 2. So this idea that somehow there is a second baptism, a baptism subsequent to water baptism, a baptism subsequent to penitent faith in Christ, that a believer is to experience, that is somehow anointing of the Holy Spirit or a receiving of the Holy Spirit with power, and this is how they define the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's evidenced by speaking in tongues. That is not a biblical doctrine, and it creates a false dichotomy and really has this idea, it creates this idea, there's a bunch of Christians running around, around the landscape, who they just don't have the Spirit. The Spirit might be inside of them saying, oh yeah, you're my son or you know, my daughter, but they have no power. They have no power to preach the gospel. They have no power to overcome sin in their life. They have no power to do, you know, miracles and whatever. You know, this is the way they talk. And so, you know, their claim is that, do you want to get off the rails? Do you want to actually have some power in your Christianity? Well, then you've got to experience the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the whole problem is that the premise behind their idea is not biblical at all.
So where did the idea come from? Can you just give us a general notion?
If we could talk about this kind of in general, is that this is an outflow of the 1906 Azusa Street Revival, which kind of kicks off Pentecostalism in the modern era. And it creates a movement, if you would, within evangelicalism that eventually spreads to the point where it kind of takes over the center, the mainstream of evangelicalism. But Pentecostalism and the Azusa Street Revival is where you get these two distinctives that, you know, of the charismatic and Pentecostal movement really first coming into its modern day manifestation. And the two distinctives are the baptism of the Holy Spirit as evidenced through the receiving of the gift of tongues. And this comes out of the Azusa Street Revival from 1906.
Okay, so to just put a little historical context on that, we're talking about for some people, well, actually for all, because I doubt anyone is really that old. For some people in this tradition, they cannot remember a time when this was not their teaching. They simply assume this is the actual teaching of historic Christianity.
That's correct. There, yeah, at this point in time, you know, because it happened so long ago, more than 110 years ago, that, you know, there's no one alive who can remember, you know, Christianity prior to the Azusa Street Revival and the Pentecostal movement. But the reality is that in the history of Christianity, these ideas and these doctrines, this idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as they define it, this is a very new doctrine, very innovative, and it's a Johnny come lately. And I would say that it's, you know, not only is it a Johnny come lately, it is not what the Bible teaches regarding the Holy Spirit.
You have some examples here from kind of classic teachers of this notion of baptism in the Holy Spirit. Who are we going to hear first?
Well, actually, we're going to hear one person for all three sound bites today. We're going to go back in time, and we're going to listen to John Osteen, the father of Joel Osteen, who also authored a book in the 90s entitled Overcoming Hindrances to Receiving the Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this was one of the sermons that he preached kind of concurrent with the release of that book.
You must confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. Now, when you do that, the Bible says that you are born again, born of the Spirit of God. And Romans chapter 8 says, His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. So every born-again person, no matter what denomination you're in or out of, If you have been born again, the Spirit of God has changed your inner man, your spirit man. You've had a new birth. And the Holy Ghost says to you inside, you belong to God. We have the witness in ourselves. Now for 19 years, I preached that's as far as anybody could go. But there's more for Christians than just being ready for heaven. Well, you say, that ought to be enough. I'm ready for heaven. Yeah, but you're not in heaven. As I often say, you're not in the sweet by and by. You're in the nasty now. You're down here where the rubber meets the road. You're down here where you have problems and trials and heartaches and all these things. And so you need more than just a ticket paid to heaven. And we need more than just to be born again. I want the television audience to understand that. You need more than just to be born again. If you're not born again, you need that. But then you need more than that. Because you need what Jesus called power from on high. In the book of Luke chapter 24, it says, But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I like that. I tell you, it'd be good to have power from any direction. But power from on high interests me. I'm talking about that power that is from the throne of Almighty God. And Jesus said to these disciples, you're not ready to go out and take this gospel. You're not ready to tell this good news until you wait until the Holy Ghost comes. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. He said, then you'll be endued with power from on high.
So what exactly is John Osteen teaching there?
Well, he's teaching that you can be a Christian and really not have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you need this. And so notice what he did. He referenced Luke 24, and Luke 24 is Jesus basically instructing the disciples to stay in Jerusalem until he sends the Holy Spirit. And that's not a command for us, by the way. None of us are commanded to go to Jerusalem and wait until God sends the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was sent on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has already been sent by Christ. And so what he's doing is he's engaging in some kind of fudge work, if you would, kind of quoting passages pre-Pentecost as if somehow that is applicable to a Christian today. So apparently you can be somebody who is a penitent believer in Jesus Christ and not have the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's just like the disciples being told by Jesus to wait in Jerusalem until Jesus sends power from on high. So, yeah, you're just utterly powerless. There's so much more to Christianity, but you didn't even know that because your denominational teachers didn't teach you this. But see, the problem is that he's twisting Scripture and basically engaging in a historical anachronism, quoting passages prior to the sending of the Holy Spirit as if somehow that is descriptive of the Christian life today when it's not.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity on this Friday, May the 29th. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have some more time with him, hear a little bit more from John Osteen teaching the baptism in the Holy Spirit, very common teaching in Pop American Christianity. Chris Roseborough is host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at BLC.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota, St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio, First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Marilyn Monroe and her life is an image for the way in which the sexual revolution is promoted as this wonderful thing, but all the problems are airbrushed out.
So we can say, when we look at the manifestation of tongues where people lose control of themselves, that it is clearly an evidence not of the presence of the Holy Spirit, but of the absence of the Holy Spirit.
The Son of God, Christ, enables us to see the Holy Trinity by becoming flesh and by taking away the sin that would have kept us away from ever seeing God.
To a stranger who walks in, who doesn't know all the same 30 praise choruses that are currently hot on the pop charts, that can be as off-putting and intimidating as someone walking into a Greek Orthodox church and having the whole service be in Greek.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Just a little taste of them right there. We got the four soundbites to play for you in their entirety. And then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Your chance to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in about 20 minutes. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about baptism and the Holy Spirit, hearing some audio from John Osteen, father of the famous Joel Osteen. Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is our guest. Chris, before we go on to the next piece here, how experientially driven, how based in one's own personal subjective experience is this idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
The whole thing itself is actually predicated on experience, and the way it's argued for is experiential. And so the idea here is that the Pentecostal movement is really rooted and grounded in experience as a way of validating their doctrine. How do we know that you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and that our view of this doctrine is true? Well, because I was powerless as a Christian, and then all of a sudden I prayed to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and next thing you know, I had power in my life, and see, that proves that this is... So what happens is that they kind of argue it much the same way that you hear the Mormons arguing for how they know the Book of Mormon is true. You ask a Mormon, how do you know the Book of Mormon is true? Well, because I prayed to God to show me that it's true, and I had a burning in my bosom. You ask a Pentecostal, how do you know that your view of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is true? Well, because I experienced the power and it was evidenced by me speaking in tongues. All of that is subjective and experiential. And it's funny because John Osteen, in basically laying out the reason why you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, it's because he's personally experienced it.
Have you ever wondered why, even though you're born again, why there's no reality in your life? Have you ever wondered why there's just no reality in the Bible? You just have to push yourself to go to church and all that. You don't have to live that way. I'm telling you, there's a different area. There's a different dimension. Oh, do you thirst? I remember when I began to thirst as a denominational preacher. I'd been to college and seminary, and I'd listened to all of them, and they told me all these things had passed away. But oh, I had a thirst. I had a thirst, a longing for more of God. And I said, I'm going to climb the hill of God. I'm going to get above the fog and smog of the tradition and teaching of man. I'm going to wrap my fingers in the garments of God. I'll not be shaken off. I'll not be shaken off. I'm going to receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I remember the desperate thirst in my heart. I said, oh God, my Father, time is too short, eternity is too long, hell is too hot, and heaven is too real, and my responsibility is too great to fail you in this hour. I care not what my denomination says. I care not what man says. I want to stand approved in the presence of Almighty God.
So what's he describing, Chris?
Well, he's describing, if you would, what I think Luther might describe as Affektung. Do you feel like things are powerless in your life and you don't want to go to church? Well, he thinks the problem is that people haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when in reality, what they may really be experiencing is the true Affektung as a result of hearing all law and no gospel preaching. You keep trying to pull yourself up by your proverbial bootstraps and live out this sinless Christianity that much of evangelicalism touts, or this victorious Christianity that you're supposed to experience, and you realize you're not experiencing that victory or whatever. Their solution is that you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. When the biblical solution is that you need to get it out of that church because you're not hearing the gospel and you're only hearing law. So I think that's really what he's describing is, the malaise that overcomes a person as a result of all law, no gospel preaching.
There is a foil he's using there. I want you to just comment briefly on it. And it's very common in, say, the classic Assemblies of God, maybe Pentecostal, where they don't view themselves as a denomination at all, even though some of them are denominations, or non-denominational charismatic churches. They'll kind of – everything's – set up against the denominational teachings, the teachings of men. That's a very subtle thing in the modern big box non-denominational church. They don't do a lot of bashing of denominations because they're more pan-denominational in a sense. But that seems to be the basis of John Osteen's kind of the reason you're not hearing this or have never heard of this except from me is because they were keeping it from you.
Yeah, no, it's the classic, you create a conspiracy, and here's how the conspiracy works in this language, is that we all know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, all of those denominations, they're all based upon the traditions of men. And see, that's the problem. And see, because they're all part of this conspiracy of the traditions of men, they're not teaching you. They know what the Bible says about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. So they're keeping this from you. But I'm gonna get you the information that they've been withholding. That basically, it's a subtle technique that is often used, especially in, like you point out, the Assemblies of God and, classic Pentecostal kind of speaking. That then this becomes their narrative as to why it is that this doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, apparently nobody taught it for 1,900 years in Christianity. Well, how do you explain that? Well, we know what happened. It's the doctrines of men and the traditions of men. They've been suppressing this for 1,900 years. We finally let the genie out of the bottle, and so the problem is when somebody starts talking this way, there's a reason why this hasn't been taught for 1900 years is because it's not biblical.
So before we go on to the last piece here, where does so far John Osteen's teaching on baptism of the Holy Spirit leave the average believer who's never spoken in tongues, who says, I guess I've always thought I had the Holy Spirit, like, heard the gospel, I believe in Jesus, I'm comforted in the forgiveness of my sins, but apparently he says there's more. I'm missing out on the power. Where does it leave them?
Well, in some senses, it makes them feel guilty because they should have known better, or they feel duped or deceived by their Lutheran pastors, because their Lutheran pastors didn't teach them how to receive the Holy Spirit, and so it creates some real anxiety in the hearers. It could cause them to feel like that they've been deceived, or that they've somehow been foolish, or that they've been sinful, and here they've wasted all of these years of their life. They could have had this, and they didn't. It creates all kinds of problems for them.
So what's next here?
Well, we're going to hear John Osteen, in a sense, kind of leading people, in a prayer, or heading, kind of closing the deal, if you would, convincing them that they need to be obedient and reach out to God so that they can be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
You know, it's wonderful to come through this camera and to tell you that you don't have to go to hell. I don't care how bad you are, how good you are, you don't have to go to hell. you can go to heaven. There's a gift for you. That gift is Jesus Christ. And if you have him, you have eternal life. All you have to do is just ask him to come into your heart. And then after you do that, many of you have already done that, but don't be ashamed of what Jesus can give you. Don't try to please man and be on the social register and try to get the acclaim of man and the applause of man. Jesus talked about those who love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I just challenge you to ask the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and give you a heavenly language to praise God with and supernatural gifts to live for God. That power, endued with power from on high. Won't you lay your hand upon your heart and pray this prayer while these people are real quiet here? Say, oh God, I know that without Jesus, I'm lost. But I know he died for me and rose again. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me now. Lord Jesus, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live for you. And I'm going to make you the Lord of my life right now. And I say with my mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord. Now, Jesus, since I belong to you, baptize me in the Holy Ghost. Give me a heavenly language to praise the Father with. Give me supernatural gifts to live for you. Goodbye, Satan. I'm not going to serve you anymore. Jesus is my Lord, and he's going to fill me with the Holy Ghost.
All right, Chris, classic sinner's prayer from John Osteen there. That thing has parlance all across evangelicalism today, but John had a little addendum to the sinner's prayer. What was it?
Yeah, the addendum was the Lord baptize me in the Holy Ghost and give me a heavenly prayer language, which is not what the gift of tongues is. The gift of tongues is a supernatural ability to speak a human language that you have never studied. You haven't taken a Pimsleur course or a Berlitz course, or you haven't went out and got the Rosetta Stone software, and you're able to supernaturally speak a human language and proclaim the gospel in that human language. That's what we saw on the day of Pentecost. So, I mean, this is just convoluted as all get out, and it's not based on what Scripture teaches. There's no such thing in Scripture as a penitent believer who's been baptized, when I mean water baptized, who does not have the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, you know, after he preaches that they had crucified the Lord, and, you know, this great sermon that he preaches, that it says that the men there were cut to the heart. And they asked, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 makes it very clear that, here's what he says, in him we have obtained inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. So Paul makes it very clear that anybody who is a true penitent believer in Christ, and Peter even says that, you know, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as a baptized believer in Jesus who doesn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this creates a false dichotomy. And as a result of it, because this is a false doctrine, my concern is that whatever spirit people are experiencing as a result of falling for this false doctrine, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a deceiving spirit, and a spirit that is leading them away from Christ, not to Christ. And I do not think it is a coincidence that the churches that have historically bought into this baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they are the ones leading the way and leading the church into apostasy and false doctrine. I would point to Joel Osteen as the fruit of John Osteen's ministry, and Joel Osteen couldn't preach the gospel if his life depended upon it.
Before we let you go, Fighting for the Faith starts in just about a half hour. What's on the lineup tonight?
We will be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost, and ending off with a couple of really good Lutheran sermons to give sound doctrine regarding what it means to have the Holy Spirit and what the work of the Holy Spirit is.
Folks, you can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristianradio.com. That's piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, it's always a pleasure, and I'll talk with you next week.
Thanks.
When we come back, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Now, that means you're going to have to listen, which is not that hard to do. But then part of the game is after listening to the four soundbites, you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. You can send us an email with your vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. We have left space at our Facebook fan page for your vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Friday afternoon, May 29th, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. When we come back, we're going to play the four sound bites we've assembled for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and then it's time for your votes, your chance to win the LPR bundle package. We'll be right back.
T-shirts, shorts, sun. Get in shape this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Get A-Fit this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
And the love of God.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us who might deceive us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.